I'm going to be brief tonight because I have Christmas presents to unwrap. So I love you all, but I got to get out of here. So no, I'll be brief, but it won't be long this evening. But I want to share with you, as you read this passage, very familiar portion of God's word. But there's something very small that I want to highlight in it. We all know this story. I don't need to go over it. The story of the wise men, the story of Matthew chapter 2. But a lot of us forget, I forget sometimes, in this passage, the wise men didn't just go to see Jesus. They made a little pit stop before they went there. And it was a very interesting pit stop. And it was this little interval with a king and a certain nation I want to draw our attention to tonight, just for a few moments. Read verse 2 of Matthew chapter 2 with me again. Saying, where is he? This is the wise men speaking. Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, the next part, does the scripture say King Herod and the whole city was happy, enthused, thrilled? I'm mildly happy even. No. Verse 3, when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, wait, what? Hey, everyone's happy at Christmas time, right? No, not everybody. And a lot of times we see the nativity scene by our dining room table, and, you know, the shepherds and the angels, and everyone's smiling, even baby Jesus is smiling. Or we see pictures of angels singing songs in the front of the shepherds, and everyone's smiling, everyone's happy. And Christmas time, no, not here. These people, when hearing these things, the truths of God, the promises of the Messiah, the Bible says that he was troubled, and not just him, understand King Herod, but all of Jerusalem with him. There was trouble in Jerusalem. Well, why? What did these wise men do that caused the king and his subjects to be so distraught, so upset over something that's supposed to be so wondrous, so joyous? They were waiting for the Messiah. Well, the wise men did three specific things tonight that speak on the truth of Christmas, and it showed forth their faith, and it can be a great encouragement to us as well. King Herod and Jerusalem were troubled because of, number one, what the wise men said. Look at verse 2 again. What's the very first word? Saying. They spoke. What did they say? Where is he that is born king of the Jews? I don't mean to put things in scripture that are not there, but to me, this is a very funny picture. You have to understand King Herod. He's a very opulent man. He's a very extravagant man. He's an immensely arrogant man. Anything he desired, his soul would have it. Anything. Can you imagine this guy coming in and goes, sire, there's three kings, three wise men of great renown. They're here. Well, why are they here? Wait, they must be here to see me. I mean, I am King Herod after all. And they come in, and could you imagine the audacity? Hey, we're looking for the king. What? I'm the king. Don't you see, like, the big fan and the gold rings and all the jewels? And I'm the king. I'm King Herod. What do you mean you're looking for? Not just the king. They say, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Uh-oh. He didn't like that at all. Because they knew that when they said those words, he was not talking about just someone like Herod. They were talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the prophesied Messiah. Herod heard, shockingly probably, that there is someone greater than him. No wonder that King Herod was troubled. He was troubled because of what they said. But here's the thing. They didn't say anything wrong. They just spoke the truth. That's it. Sometimes, you know, we know people that can be brutally honest, lovingly. And Dad and I like to share stories of Ben, poor Ben. But there's not a lying bone in Ben's body. He will never, ever lie to you. That's just not his nature. That's not who he is. But if you ask him a question, it's on you. Because he's going to tell you exactly what he thinks. That's not my fault, or that's not his fault, that's my fault if I ask. One time, you might have heard the story before, Mom made this amazing meal. She always does, but sometimes she goes all out. She makes almost everything from scratch. The meat and the green beans, mashed potatoes and gravy, that's my favorite, by the way. This much meat and this much mashed potatoes and gravy, okay, slosh all over. Green beans and roll, everything you can imagine. And Mom likes to take inventory of everyone enjoying the meal. So she would put her fork and knife down and go, Rick, how do you like the food? Oh, it's great, Mom. It's so good. Jim, how do you like the food? Oh, Louis, it's the best you've ever made. He oversells it because he's the husband. Best you've ever made. Okay. Andy, how do you like it? Thanks for coming so much. I don't like to be talked to when I'm enjoying my food. I just want to eat. So, you know. And then mom would go, Ben, how do you like the food? And in the hush across the dining room table, because everyone knows the honest opinion of Ben Blaylock would come out. And Ben, he took a sigh. He went, and he took it very seriously. He looks at the meat, looks at the green beans, looks at the mashed potatoes. I like the rolls. Ben, that's the only thing I didn't make. I got those from Publix. Oh, well, I like those. And he eats a roll. Brutal. Brutally honest. But it's the truth. We need to be reminded tonight that words matter. That what we say with our lips matter. Some of you might know this, but, you know, I take the young people out on visitation on Saturdays. Sometimes they break a fence, but the other times someone else fixed the fence, so it's okay. You know, the cops don't get called. But a few weeks ago, we were out here in the farms, and we just got blasted by someone. I mean, a guy pulled up to us and just let us have it. You know, because there's nothing worse in our society than young people handing out the gospel. That's just, they're terrors of, you know, Indian Town Road. But he was just language, everything, just everything you can imagine. It was shocking. I was horrified. Most of them were horrified. And there was one person laughing in the van, and I look next to me, it's Logan McFarlane, just laughing at the guy. I'm like, dude, he's going to blow us away. Why are you laughing? Be quiet back there. He's just laughing. And as we drive away, he goes, let's do it again. Let's go back and find him. That's zeal. Zeal not according to knowledge, but that's good zeal. But it horrified me, and that was a dark moment, because I thought to myself sometimes, you know, why is it worth it? Why do we go out here? People seem more and more aggressive, hateful to the things of God. But then God convicted me because he reminded me a little time ago, I was knocking on a door. I almost kind of wince now when I knock on a door, like, what's coming out? And the guy swung the door open. It's like, uh-oh, this is not going to go well. And they swing it open, and you're like, bye. I'm from Christ Fellowship. I tell the young people to say that when they're mad. So I have some spare tracks just in case. He swung the door open, and he goes, what's your name? I'm Andy Blaylock. Where are you from? Beacon Baptist Church. Why are you Baptist? Okay. Roger Miller from 1907. So he started asking these questions. I was being interrogated. What does it mean to be a Christian? I was like, well, my favorite is that God is my Father and Jesus Christ is the Son. And why do you believe you have a home in heaven? Because Jesus Christ's payment is eternal. Why do you think that you have salvation forever, because it's not on me, it's Christ's works. And I was just laying down everything. After he was getting my preacher juices flowing, I was like, I'm justified, I'm sanctified, I testify. So I'm starting to spittle at him. And it was 20 minutes, it was a 20-minute conversation. And at the very end, he smiles, and tears started welling up in his eyes, and he said, I am too. Wait, what? I should be happy, like, oh, a fellow brother in Christ. Why'd you waste my time for 20 minutes? Kids are breaking fences over here. Why are you wasting my time? Why did we have this whole discussion? And he said, I know it's true. I believe it in my heart. And with tears in his eyes, he said, sometimes it feels good just to hear someone else say it. And you know, beloved, you want to make a difference in this world? Then speak up. Use your mouth. Use your words. Do not be afraid to proclaim God's word, to share it with others. The wise men said, notice they said, where is he born king of the Jews? They knew what they were walking into. They knew who Herod was. And, you know, they could have taken the politically correct route. Hey, we're looking for a prophet. You know, we're looking for a wise man like us. We're looking for a blessed child. King Herod wouldn't have been offended at that. But no, they had to speak the truth. We need to be reminded to speak up, to tell our friends, to tell our coworkers, our families, why we celebrate this time of year. The truth that God sent forth his Son, not to be some nativity scene on the dining room table. That's not it. But he was born to be a sacrifice. He died on the cross for our sins. God gave us an offering, a gift that we could never receive on our own. That is the truth that we need to share with people. Christ lives this very moment, and the only reason we're here right now on Christmas Eve 2017 is for that brother, even for that belligerent guy yelling at us, to share the truth of God's word with everyone around us. That's why we're here. And even though it troubles Herod and it troubles people, that's why we're here. But that's not the only thing that troubled King Herod and the people. Number two, first we saw what they said with their mouths, right? But then look here, number two, what the wise men saw. Look at verse 2 again. Saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Verse 10 down says, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." You know, why be worried over a star? Really? That troubled him? We saw a star. Oh no. That wasn't it. It wasn't the star that troubled them. It was the promise that the star would be there. Because this star was a promise from God himself. And guess what? That promise came true. You know, when God is true and every man is a liar, it makes man very nervous about what they think is truth. Dad told the young people this morning, you want to know why Christ came? The confession that Christ said to Pilate, "For this cause came I into the world, bearing witness of the truth," not my truth, or like Dad's O.J. Simpson's book about the truth. It's not our truth, it is the truth. And see, the thing is that occurred in Herod's mind, and that occurred in the people of Jerusalem. If God fulfilled his promise here, if this is true, then maybe all of this is true. For us, that brings joy. But for them, it troubles them. Because as it is said, if the Bible is not true, nothing matters but what? If the Bible is true, nothing else matters. One thing I always find very interesting about the Christmas Carol, I love the book, and it's very interesting. It's one of the most famous stories around this time of year, right? But you ever notice in the story, Mr. Scrooge wasn't really gripped with fear by what the spirits said to him. They said all these things, but that really didn't disturb him. What truly bothered Mr. Scrooge was what he saw with his own eyes. He saw a lifetime of selfish and empty living. He saw a crutch without an owner, a graveside with no one to mourn his death. When you see truth with your own eyes, it affects you. It changes you. King Herod saw with his own eyes the truth and promise of God coming to fruition. He saw this hope of these three wise men who believed God and discovered, as Psalm 118 says, "For it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." That's troubling to him. Bible says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when it is accomplished, it is a tree of life." There's nothing like having hope and putting your hope in something that will never let you down. I remember one of the greatest Christmases of all time, okay? It was the Christmas of 1996. You remember the year? Oh, I remember the year. It's interesting because that year was considered, to this day by many, the most insane, the most chaotic, the most hectic holiday shopping season in our country. 1996. You want to know why? For two reasons. Number one, it was a hot toy. You know it. Tickle Me Elmo. Some of you are already laughing. It came out in August, and it was nothing. No one cared, but it was on Oprah. And then it was on Ellen. And then it was on the Today Show. You know, it's Elmo. If you guys don't know what it is, you push it, and it goes, "Elmo, stop it." That's it. That's all it does. You just squeeze it, and it laughs. There's nothing special about it. But because all of these people, "Oh, this is a hot toy, 1996, hot toy," everyone had to have it. All of a sudden, it got so bad that some people paid up to $7,500 to $10,000 for a Tickle Me Elmo, 1996. Yeah. Oh, yeah, insane. And there was a second item that was the most wanted holiday item that me, of course, wanted so bad. It was called the Nintendo 64, okay? See, you old-timers, you're used to Mario going like this. No. Mario went in 3D. He goes everywhere now. It blows your mind. Do you understand what 64 bits is? That's a lot of bits. So it blew my mind. I needed to have it so bad. But Mom and Dad were very wise, and they sat me and Rick down, and they said, "Boys, it's crazy. People are killing each other, literally, to get this thing. We're not dying for this little console. There's a very high chance you will not get it for Christmas." Now, Rick was upset. He was disturbed. He punched a hole in the wall, cried. Very carnal. But I said to my parents, Mom and Dad, your love is the only thing that I need. And that's okay. So I was spiritual. But then Christmas came, and I won't forget it because that was the year that was going to be the worst Christmas of my life, because that's the year that Rick got his TaylorMade guitar. Where's it at? It's over there. I want to smash it still. That thing brought more pain and suffering because he wasn't good when he first started, okay? Lots of mischords, lots of notes that can't be conceived by normal ears. That was going to be the worst Christmas ever. Rick got a guitar. But then Dad and Mom said, Andy, here's a big old present. He's like, ooh, it's big. Does it tickle me, Elmo? No. So I open it up, and it's a pack of diapers. I said, this is child abuse. This is mean. And Dad's like, open it up, you moron. Like, oh, okay. I just looked at it. Tear, no. I open it up, and I saw like this little holographic N, the letter N. I was like, no, it can't be. It can't be. So I tear it up, and you guessed it. I screamed in ebullition, it's a Nintendo 64! Tears were coming down my face. Rick was rocking on his guitar. Revival broke out. People were getting saved left and right. Crying. It was an amazing time. I couldn't believe it. I didn't believe it. It's an amazing story. A lady gave Dad her ticket. He got the last one. Security had to walk him out to the parking lot. Impossible situation. God heard my prayer. But I'm not a materialistic kid, I promise. But that was over 20 years ago. Makes me feel old. 20 years ago, I put hope in this stupid little thing. And I got lucky, really lucky that time. But in that time, in the 20 years past now, 2017, I've learned so many times over, we can put our hope in things of this world, but they will disappoint you. They will let you down. But you know what? If you put your hope in God, you know what? You will never be disappointed. Never. Even in hard times like this year, God has never let me down. Ever. And he won't for you either. My question tonight is, what do you see with your eyes? You know, if you think about it, the wise men could have chosen two ways. They could see the star like they did, or they could have used their eyes and said, you know what, that's a long and that's a dangerous journey. And it was. And you know what, it's with a evil, wicked king and an ignorant and unbelieving people. And they were. It's just not worth it. But the wise men chose to see the star and to believe the promise of God. Ladies and gentlemen, what are we looking at tonight? Are you fixated on your personal toils and struggles? Are you fixated on the darkness of this world, on the moral decay of our country, the things that you have lost and you have suffered through? Or are you focusing on and rejoicing in the goodness and the graciousness of God that permeates our life every single day? What do you choose to look at tonight? These wise men were not called wise just because they were smart. They were called wise because what they said was right, but their sight was also right. They had the right perspective. And when you have that right perspective, as it says in verse 10, it will lead to nothing else but exceeding great joy, which is the last thing the wise men did very quickly. Number one, what the wise men said. Number two, what the wise men saw. But then number three, very interesting, what the wise men sought. Look at verse 2 again. Saying, where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Why are you seeing the Savior? Oh, we're just going to pay respects. No, we're going to admire them. You know, maybe take a selfie with them, you know, just for our photo book. No. They had come to worship him. And this was the last straw, by the way. This is really what disturbed everybody. Deeply disturbing. Well, why? Because the world doesn't want you to see, they don't want to see you worshiping someone else other than them. The world will tell my child, your children, your grandchildren, you need to worship us. Idolize our music, our celebrity. Read and believe our words. We alone deserve your worship. But they do not. They say the biggest headline of 2017, believe it or not, is not President Trump, which is shocking because he's bringing the end of days if you read the headlines. The number one headline of 2017 is all of the controversy, all of the scandal in Hollywood and in politics. And you know why that is? Is it because people have righteous indignation because they truly feel sorry for these people? No, that's not why. Weinstein and Hollywood and all these people, they're disturbed because they've been taught their whole life to worship these people, to idolize them, their celebrity, their popularity, their intelligence, their political power. And they found out that there is nothing, nothing of any value to them. They are morally, spiritually bankrupt. And the jig is up. Now, we're not surprised. We watch the TV and we're like, okay, lost people acting lost. It's not surprising. But they're shocked because their whole lives they were lied to. Just worship us. We deserve your worship. They deserve nothing. You remember that, young people. There's not a single thing of value in the heart, in the soul of any lost person. Nothing whatsoever. But in Jesus Christ, he alone deserves all of your admiration, all of your praise, and all of your worship. Not Herod, not Caesar, nothing else in this world that can afford except Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. The wise men did not listen to the world. What they sought was troubling to the kingdom, but it was the only thing worth seeking after. And you can seek a lot of things in this life, but you will never find what you're looking for. I can promise you that. Just as the N64 came out, guess what came out a few years later? The GameCube. And I had to have it, you know. I'm shameful, I know. I'm not materialistic anymore. Don't ask my wife that. Just take it for face value. But the world will always say, well, this will really make you happy. This will make you even happier than being all the way happy. This will make you 200% happy. Whatever you're looking for in this life, it will not satisfy. It will not grant you the peace of God, the exceeding great joy that is written here. And I don't know all of you in this room. Someone in this room tonight may come to these things, celebrate the holiday, celebrate Christmas, Easter even, and you never accepted Christ as your Savior. You hear these stories, but Jesus Christ did not come to be a story, to not be something that the wise men admire and tell their friends when they come back home. He is the Son of God. He was born to die, as we sang last week, for you and for me. And I'm telling you tonight, whatever you're looking for in this world, it will never satisfy you. Whether you're an 11-year-old child like me in 1996 or today in 2017, it is only the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father that fills your soul with forgiveness of sins, a home in heaven, a promise to see your loved ones again, and a salvation that will never be taken away, a heavenly Father that will love you forever. That is what is afforded here in the scriptures for you. Do not delay. And don't make excuses. Because around this time of year, we focus sometimes a lot on our blessings, but also a lot of times on our burdens. And we make excuses. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. I knew a friend at Christmas break at Crown College. And I said goodbye to him. I'll see you next year. He was supposed to be in my room. And he passed away the very next day on his way home. God has not promised us tomorrow. He's only promised us tonight, Christmas Eve. Don't delay in receiving this great salvation, the greatest gift you can ever receive. I'll say this and I'll be done. These wise men did not receive their title, you know, the wise men, from King Herod or the clergy or the intelligentsia of the day. It was a title given from God himself. I'd like to be called a wise man. That's a high honor. Well, why? Why did God give these three men such a title? It's because what they said, what they saw, and what they sought was Jesus Christ and the things of God. That will make you a wise man or wise woman. Yeah, it may disturb the world to hear and to see you live the truth of this book, but it brings us nothing but exceeding great joy. May we as God's people tonight rejoice in the truth, the real truth of Christmas, and like these wise men, share it wherever we may go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that these are not stories that we reflect on once a year, that this is a truth that endures forever, that Jesus Christ did not stay as a baby in a manger. He didn't even stay as a man hanging on a cross, but he is the Messiah, the Savior, and he is seated at the right hand of God, We thank you that he ever lives to make intercession for us. And we thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege to share this amazing story with everyone around us. Give us boldness. Give us the strength and the wisdom as these wise men to always proclaim and to share the truth of Christmas. We thank you for this time, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.